It's now time for Stephen A. Russell for Film Reviews. Hello.
Hello, and I'm very excited to walk in here this morning and see Simon is now part of the gang. I'm really up for this. This is great.
Oh, fanboying as we go. Love it.
Look, I feel like last time I came in and all I did was love movies. And unfortunately, I'm like super positive this week as well. So there's going to be no moaning from me here.
But something that I heard about the film industry this week is that it's really hurting right at present because of all the Netflix and...
Well, look, it's down a bit, but I also think the story is somewhat ludicrous because we're literally about to have, like, Avengers Endgame make the entire last year's worth of money, and there's a new Star Wars, and there's Toy Story 2 and Frozen 2. So, like, you know, the behemoth that is Disney, for better or worse, is not going to see the industry go under. However, I think where there is, you know, and this is actually an interesting segue into the first film, Thunder Road, there is a major squish on the independent scene. And what I love is that writer, director and star of I think the sublime Thunder Road, Jim Cummings, he kind of body swerved the entire thing, because what he's done is he's expanded a little short where he basically plays a cop who has a meltdown at his mum's funeral.
Yeah, that sounds fascinating.
And look, it is. It's, if you like the sort of the thick of it kind of excruciating comedy also actually smuggling a real beating heart. It's that kind of scene. Now, what he did to get this, and he's now created an entire 90-minute film out of it, and he was sort of shipping it around to small distribution companies. But he'd already built, you know, using kind of GoFundMe and all that, he already had quite a big following on the film. And so they sort of said, I don't know how much more we can do for you. And so he self-distributed it. And he then ended up winning the Grand Jury Prize at South by Southwest. And they sort of helped him to kind of go, you know, push it even broader, and it ended up doing really well in France and made its entire money back in 1 week of international sales. And so really, I think this is quite a remarkable, you know, test case for perhaps maybe there's a way for smaller films to go out there and do it on their own. Now, I'm not saying that that's an easy task.
Yeah. Well, yeah, for getting funding, it's so difficult, isn't it? But I can remember years ago, I spoke to an American director that was in town, and he literally was saying that like independent films is dying. You know, like there's not the funding, there's not the money coming through, and but it seems to have come back again.
Well, I think like any industry that, and you can say the same of, you know, my day job, journalism, any industry that is under threat, you know, produces disruptors. I hate to use that term, but you know, it's not that there isn't tough out there, but there are people who are finding ways through, and I think that's a great story.
Well, and as technology becomes so much cheaper, I mean, you saw that with contemporary music. You know, people can now record an album in their living room.
Well, totally, people are shooting films on iPhones. In fact, you know, big directors like Steven Soderbergh are actually
literally
picking up on that. You know, so it's. You know, there is positivity out there. Look, this is a really limited release in Australia. It took a year for us to get it, which is, you know, that's another story we could talk about. But it is out in Melbourne and Perth right now. It will open in the other capitals next week. This is sublime. Jim Cummings is a talent to watch. It's utterly stunning. I won't say any more about the film. It's a very intimate little slow burn cookie comedy. Please, please go. 4.5 stars from me.
Wow. Can we talk about how at his mother's funeral, what he does? Do you want to talk about that? Because I already know.
Yeah, the title gives it away. He's a massive Springsteen fan, and he basically does a kind of performance, I mean, a very Fringe-like performance piece.
Brilliant.
Set to, you know, the track Thunder Road at the funeral, and it is utterly excruciating.
Oh my God, it sounds so funny.
Unlike most Fringe things,
no,
Stephen.
No, of course.
But,
you know.
Yes, I understand the vibe of what you're saying.
No, I didn't. That is not what I meant.
So 4.5 stars. 4.5 stars. Let's focus there.
4.5. Right. Okay. Now, also out this week is another incredible incredibly excruciating but brilliant independent film, The Kindergarten Teacher by Sarah Colangelo. Now, this is actually a kind of remake of an Israeli film by, I have lost that, Nadav Lapid, and it stars one of my absolute personal favourites, Maggie Gyllenhaal. Now, the concept here is that she is bored out of her mind, you know, kind of Staten Island, kindy teacher, doesn't really love her family. Her only sort of joy in life is going to a poetry class run by the hunky Gael Garcia Bernal, but her poetry is dire. So he's quite constructive. He's trying to support her, but Let's face it, she isn't gonna. You know, she's not, you know, the next Tennyson or, you know, Walt Whitman or anything like that. What then happens is that one of her kids, played by the utterly adorable Parker Savak, starts to spout these really profound little, you know, he's just this tiny little kid. He keeps saying these really weirdly profound things. And so, of course, she immediately rips them off and starts to posit them as her own poem.
Yeah.
And it only gets weirder and more twisted from there. And again, I don't really want to say too much because it's a film that absolutely, it's a WTF, you know, kind of avalanche.
Yeah.
As the line between mentor and manipulator gets thoroughly blurred. But again, Maggie Gyllenhaal is absolutely divine.
As always.
Yeah. And this is one of those films where by the end you will be stunned in sort of dirty complicity with where it ends up.
Okay.
I cannot recommend this one highly enough.
And she does a lot of real, very interesting stuff, doesn't she? You know, she's not...
Yeah.
You know, she's moved away from mainstream, hasn't she?
Yeah, she's dipped her toes in mainstream, but she's all mostly been independent.
And that TV series that she's...
The Juice. Yeah. Is one of my favourite shows on television.
And she was one of the producers as well, wasn't she?
Yeah, absolutely. I really love it. She's just a super feminist, powerful force in filmmaking. And again, an example of someone who's just doing really interesting stuff. So yeah, if you're out there as one of the people who is bored of eternal superhero movies, which I do love, then you've got no excuse. There are two, both of those are outstanding independent films.
Okay.
Go to cinema, support these.
Absolutely.
And that is a great segue into the third brilliant film from South Korean writer-director Lee Chang-dong, and that is Burning. Now, again, we've had to wait a rather long time for this to get into our cinemas after a bit of festival play last year. But basically, it's based on a Haruki Murakami short story, and it's set in South Korea. And what we have is Yoo An-in plays Jong-soo, who's a kind of working class aspiring author who runs into a former schoolmate, Haemi, played by Jun Jong-soon, and he kind of falls for her immediately. And then what happens is it becomes a bit of a, you know, it's a bit of a meet cute at first. You think you're in for a light, cheery kind of romantic comedy.
Friendly comedy, yeah.
Yeah, no. The Walking Dead Steven Yeun comes in as rich boy Ben, and there's sort of a kind of a three-way frisson, and then Ben and Haemi disappear off to Africa, leaving him basically looking after her cat, but who never appears, or not till later at least. And masturbating in her bedroom while she's away. So it all starts to get very, what is happening here? And then one of the three disappears, and it really becomes a slow burn, twisted thriller as to what's actually happened. Now, I didn't love it quite as much. It's getting, you know, universal praise. I still think it's a 4-star film. I really recommend everyone go and see it. I think it's a little overlong. It could be a bit tighter, and some of it's on the nose. I mean, there's this repeated imagery about burning glass houses, and I feel like that's a little on the nose. And there's also a kind of slightly wobbly scene set on the border with North Korea with propaganda tannoys. I think it could have been a bit more subtle, but the performances are spectacular. It is shot utterly beautifully. I know why people are losing their mind to it. And again, you know, come on, people, if you want to see films that are different and original, then go support them. That's three independent, you know, beautiful films.
And what's that one called again?
That is Burning.
Burning, right. And Silence. It's all about burning glass houses.
Well, that's a bit of a clunky visual metaphor right, in the film, okay. But other than that, it is beautiful.
Yeah, all right.
Do I have time to squish one more?
Sure.
Simon, you look like you had a burning question.
It's all right, go for it. Keep going. We've moved on already. The moment has
passed. Time to make clunky metaphors.
Go for it. Yeah.
Look, what I will say is that this fourth and final film has been utterly pan. Like, not even like mauled by critics. Like, it's been pretty much universally loathed.
Have you sunk your teeth into it as well?
I loved it.
That'd be right.
I don't know what's wrong with me.
We've been wondering that for a long time, Stephen. Tell us why.
I used to be such a hater, and I'm just full of love now.
All right, what's it called?
It is called The Aftermath.
The Aftermath.
Yeah.
Okay, and tell us about The Aftermath.
Well, it's from James Kent, who delivered Testament of Youth with Alicia Vikander and Kit Harington, which most people really dug. It's set in the aftermath of World War II, and it kind of looks at a scene that we don't see a lot, and that is the on the German side, it's set in the ruins of Hamburg, and it kind of looks at the Allies, you know, rebuilding, but obviously facing, you know, a lot of resistance from the Germans who are there, requisitioning homes, heaps of homelessness. So, you know, it's already in kind of complicated territory. And what we have is Keira Knightley, who is playing a grieving mother who has to come from blitzed London to rejoin her army colonel husband, played by Jason Clarke, Aussie Jason Clarke, who's also starring in Pet Sematary at the moment. And they've really drifted apart. And the requisition, because of his position, this mansion owned by a, you know, a hunky.
He's so good looking.
Alexander Skarsgård in a chunky knit.
Oh my God, goodness. He's so good looking.
And look, the ludicrous concept is that despite them requisitioning the house, he stays with his furious daughter, who's also having a bit of a fling with, you know, a Hitler loving youth.
Of course.
You know, it's for all the reasons people hate this, that it is a ridiculous melodrama that has some major logical flaws, are the reason I love it. And actually, I think its messiness is sort of indicative of how this was a broken world with broken people just trying to find some way to rebuild.
Is it a case of, you know, like the big name actors in this film, you know, like the editing rumor didn't come to the pit.
There's maybe a couple of scenes. I mean, the bit where she basically falls into the arms of Hunky Skarsgård, which obviously we'd all do, could have used a little bit more, you know, of a leader. It kind of comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
But again, it's Skarsgård. Okay. You can sell that.
Yeah, it sounds accurate to me. Yes.
Yeah, I know. Like, why did you wait at least three scenes? What?
How many stars? Yeah. How many stars from you on this one?
Initially, I was going to give it 4, and I think that's probably a little, given the other films I've spoken about, I think that's probably a little generous. So it's 3.5 for me.
That's still pretty good. Okay. 2 4.5s, 4 and 3.5. That's not a bad week, Steve.
I'm loving it. Get out there before Avengers. Get out there.
Stephen, thank you so much for coming in. Always enjoy your reviews.
Thank you so much, boys.
You're on Joy 94.9.